8:15 now, joined by Mike Dettelier, our friend, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Hey, Mike, how you?
Fine, Tommy. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time. Tim tells me in my ear that Tampa Bay lost last night. If Carolina wins, they take the division lead. But that doesn't – it can matter in a way as far as, I guess, motivation, but it doesn't matter about who matches up against who, right?
Yeah, that's correct. But, man, they got an opportunity because last night – the Bucs blew it again, and this is now back-to-back games against NFC South opponents that you had a shot here, and you've let it slip away. You talk about a team that's in free fall right now. It's the Buccaneers, and they seemingly cannot put a W up on the board against Atlanta, who was playing with no confidence without their second-best offensive player in Drake London, and they torched them on offense. They really went after him. They could not stop the Falcons' offense. In fact, the Falcons' offense stopped themselves more than anything else. So Carolina's playing for a lot, and you got a shot here.
Tell me what's different between the first game and this one.
Well, the Panthers, who are built on running the ball with Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard, they couldn't run it worth a lick against the Saints. Brandon Staley's defense shut that down. They said, you know what? If you're going to beat us with little Bryce. Beat us with Bryce Young. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't buy yardage against the Saints throwing it. But, man, he's had a – this entire Carolina Panther team, everybody's got, you know, a little shot glass, at least, of being inconsistent. They are the ultimate full glass of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
With the Panthers. Mm-hmm. You don't know which team you're going to catch. I just finished doing two shows out in Carolina, and they feel the same way about it. They want to run the ball. And so you know you got to stop the run against them. And then they have these king-size receivers from Tez McMillan, Xavier Leggett, Jalen Coker. They all 6'2 to 6'4. And you got a, 5'10" quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, hey, that first time it worked. Stop the run and force Bryce Young to be the guy to beat you. I think they've had 9 different offensive line combinations this year. I mean, they like the Saints.
Yeah,
they've been all over the board across the offensive line. But they found a way to win, and Bryce has played well. Games are close. In the fourth quarter.
Did Rico Dowdle play in the first game? No.
Yes, he did. Didn't play. But I'll put it to you this way. Saints slammed the door. Brandon Staley slammed the door on them. They could not run the ball at all. And you could see almost a little bit of panic late in the third and into the fourth quarter that they knew they couldn't run it. They just were winging it. And, again, Bryce, he was wildly inaccurate. But, Tommy, when you watch them play, you're not sure what you're going to get out of them from game to game and almost quarter to quarter with the Panthers. This is a team that goes on the road and beat the Packers, and then they upset the Rams, who were the hottest team in pro football at that time. And, you know, they lose so bad against the Saints and other teams that they don't play well. Almost unexplainable how this Jekyll Hyde syndrome that they got, and again, they got a glass full of it, how they've done this year. The way the NFC South has measured out this year, it wouldn't shock me at all. They end up winning the division.
Mm. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not, at least not with a win this Sunday. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Mike Dettelier. We'll talk about some matchups and more. He's our WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Of course, we'll have all the action for you here Sunday on WWL as the Saints take on the Carolina Panthers. Look for the sweep. Game day starts at 11 o'clock. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Caesars Book, Sportsbook First Take. Then at 1 o'clock, you can join Bobby Hebert and Steve Geller for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff inside the Dome, Loge Level, Gate B. Atrium presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Then at 3:25, kickoff with Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister, one of the best broadcasting teams in the business. Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Then after the game, join the Cajun Cannon for the Point After. live from the Swamp Room Bar and Grill, 5400 Vets in Metairie. If you love football, we got 10 hours of it. Wall-to-wall black and gold coming your way Sunday. Saints-Panthers on WWL, live on the free Odyssey app, 820 Traffic Now, WWL. 8:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Saints taking on the Panthers on Sunday, trying to sweep them this year. Mike, that was Tyler Shuck's first start when the Saints beat the Panthers. They didn't know what they were looking at. Maybe they didn't know what they had in store for him. They got some tape on him now. Thoughts on how that's going to differ the way they defend against the Saints offense?
I thought what he does well, the Saints really put the exclamation point on it against Carolina. Because I really believe that Tyler Shuck's game is built on, I think he throws the middle range to deeper pass really, really well. That's his forte. I think he's gotten better in the short game, but really what he's built on, medium range passing, a little deeper downfield. He hits the big pass to Chris Olave over J.C. Horn. He hits the big pass play to Juwan Johnson for a touchdown. You got to cover that. The Panthers, they're okay on defense. They're a middle-of-the-road team on the defensive side of the football. Derrick Brown is a tremendous player up front, big man. But they don't necessarily have great pass rushers. And the way they play sometimes defensively, it gives you a shot at hitting that big play toward the middle of the field. And so that part hasn't changed, and I think Tyler's gotten better also from that game since that was really his first opportunity to play. These games have normally been close. They've been decided by the big play because I thought when they played him the first time, those two big passes, Juwan Johnson, Chris Olave, were the difference in that football game. For the Panthers, what they want to do, they want to run the football and hit a big play with Rico Dowdle. That's what they're built on. They kind of break you down little by little, and then bang, they hit you with the long run with Dowdle, and he ends up in the end zone. So, yes, they've got tape on him, but also he had success against the Panthers. And I always believe in when athletes, when they have success against a team, it kind of carries over a little bit. It does. Bryce Young has struggled against the Saints. When you go back throughout the time frame, he has really struggled against this football team. But they're so schizophrenic, there's no telling what you're going to get. But the reason he's been schizophrenic a lot has been the fact the Saints have been able to stop the run against the Panthers for the most part.
Tell me about Devin Neal. What'd you see out of him last week?
Man, he's a tough, hard-nosed back. I watched him in college. Man, he gives you everything he's got on every play. Tommy, the most impressive thing with him, he picks up the blitz as a blocker. A lot of rookies, because he was a lead back at Kansas. He was the guy. They don't necessarily know a lot about blitz pickup. Watch him. He blocks like a veteran for his quarterback. And so I've always felt he would be a really good number two back in the NFL. Now, he's forced now to be the guy because of Kamara's injury. But, man, I love his style of running. He is tough. He's got really good vision. And for not the biggest back, doesn't he always fall forward? You see a lot of guys, they get hit. They sideways or they get pushed back. Watch Devin Neal. When he gets hit, he's always forward. And that is something that is more of an instinctive thing with him. I think he's a good player that can really help this football team, not only this year, but in the future.
Devon Vele, big difference maker this week?
I would hope so because I think everybody was, when are they going to get him involved in the offense? And it took forever. And then you saw 2 weeks ago he got very much involved. Last week the same way. Because of his size and his ability to work the middle of the field. And I think that is the weakness of the Panthers. To hit that middle range pass, that's where I would hit it with Vele. And I think he might have a pretty good game. And this might be a little bit more higher scoring game than people think between these two teams. And I think it comes down to a field goal.
You want to pick a winner?
Well, the Panthers are 2.5-point favorite in this game. You know, if they hit the field goal, then they win it by three. If the Saints win it, then they cover. No, I think it means so much for the Panthers. But the way they've played this year, it wouldn't shock me at all that they drop it and then really muddy up the NFC South. They win it. Man, it gives them an opportunity. They play the Bucs twice down the stretch.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike Dettelier, we'll take a break, come back, talk about lighting up the lighthouse, and then we'll talk with Walt Leger with New Orleans & Company about their 10-year plan to make New Orleans a better place for everybody. That and a whole lot more, so stay tuned. Dave Cohen right now with WWL First News. Thank you, Dave. To Corey Miller we go, Community Engagement Director for the Pontchartrain Conservancy, to talk about the 12th Annual Lights on the Lake celebration. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about the celebration. I know this is the 12th year. How did it start, and what is it?
So we have, I guess, arguably one of the best viewing points of the West End Boat Parade. So there's more than 36 boats that get all decorated with lights and inflatables, all led by Santa and Miss Claus and the elves. And so they line up on the New Basin Canal, which is adjacent to our spot out there at 8001 Lakeshore Drive, the New Canal Basin Lighthouse. And so they line up there, and then they proceed around the point, head down Lakeshore Drive towards Canal Boulevard, and then turn around and make a loop. And so we open up our gates, and we take advantage of the great viewing point to have a great celebration for Christmas and holidays, and advertise a lot of our STEM programming out there with food, beverages, and you name it.
How do people get in? Where you would be in on the lighthouse grounds to watch this parade, right there in the point?
Absolutely. So it's a $10 admission. Kids 5 and under get in for free. You can go online on scienceforourcoast.org to get tickets. We encourage people to come on out. We open up our gates at 5 o'clock. We encourage people to get out there early because parking can get a little bit tight, but the parade actually starts at about 5:30 and then proceeds until 7:30 or so. And so we have a lot of entertainment. We have some of our STEM activities that we do out there at the lighthouse. We have food trucks, local food trucks. We've got some jambalaya and gumbo and hot chocolate and lots of activities and entertainment.
Sounds like a lot of fun. How do people find out more about it?
So, yes, like I said, you can go to scienceforourcoast.org. That's our website. And you can go to our events page, and you could purchase tickets and find out any more details.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I hope you all have a great time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sounds like it's going to be a great event. You bet. Corey Miller, he's with the Community Engagement Director of the Pontchartrain Conservancy. scienceforourcoast.org. That's how you get your tickets, and it'll prompt you from there. So I hope you can go and enjoy it. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Walt Leger, the president of the New Orleans & Company, about a new plan that they have, a regional strategy plan. We'll talk about it when we return on WWL. All right, 8:47, quickly to Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company, to talk about a plan to make New Orleans a great place to live, learn, work, and visit. I'll get it out. Hey, Walt, how you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Great to be with you. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Tell me about this Greater New Orleans Region Vision Plan 2035.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to chat about it. We, in 2009, the tourism industry created a tourism master plan document in partnership with then Lieutenant Governor Mitch Landrieu and the Convention Center and New Orleans & Company. And it laid out an aggressive plan to grow tourism in the city and the region, and included things like building an airport and developing the riverfront and cleaning up the French Quarter, making it safer, and a variety of other things relative to workforce and early childhood learning and things that strengthen our community. And, you know, so as I started looking at this in 2020, joining the team here at New Orleans & Company, felt like time to take a look at that, and yet it didn't feel right to me to put together a tourism master plan. And so instead we worked with the local group Trepwise, as well as the New Orleans Chamber of Commerce, GNO Inc., Urban League of Louisiana, JEDCO, and the Greater New Orleans Foundation, engaged about 250 community partners, interviewed hundreds of New Orleanians, and have developed this 10-year plan that is regional in its approach and looks to build upon the things that make quality of life and economic opportunity centered. Certainly, it will, we think, lead to a strong visitation community, you know, economy and tourism economy. But we think that the best way to get there is by enhancing the quality and opportunity that exists for residents. If we make this a great place to live and learn and work, it will be a great place to visit. And we want to focus on those things first. So laying out this framework to tackle that over the next 10 years, and really excited about it. A lot of momentum.
I know you got some leverage points for systemically changing the system, and we'll get to those in a second. But if I'm a Ken, 8:49, 11 till 9, let's go to traffic a minute early here so we have some uninterrupted time for Walt Leger when we come back. Can we? Traffic, WWL? All right, 8:55, Tommy Tucker. Quickly back to Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Talking about this plan, this vision that they have to make New Orleans a great place to live, learn, work, and visit, Vision 2035. Tell me some of the things you guys identified. Walt, I wanted to give you some uninterrupted time.
Yeah, sure, and thanks, Tommy. The things that emerged were not incredibly surprising. You know, I mean, one of the things that I think is really was really clear among organizations and leaders throughout the community was that recognized that collaboration was key. Fundamentally, that when big events come to the city, there's a collaboration that comes, that seems to come together to get things done. We experienced that with Super Bowl, and very much people want to see those things continue. And
collaboration,
so,
Walt, between who? You're talking about different parishes?
Between local, state, federal authorities, but yeah, between parishes as well. We saw great progress in Orleans and Jefferson coming together to address some of the, some issues with infrastructure and other things. And people want to see that continue. They particularly see things like transportation as being critical, and regional transit and connectivity. We see things like the Amtrak train between New Orleans and Mobile emerging, and twice as many passengers using it as had been projected. I think there are more victories on things like bus rapid transit and other connectivity issues that are not just about getting to and from, let's say, the airport to downtown, but also getting from areas around the community to other critical areas where work is happening. So if you need to get to Ochsner, but you live in New Orleans East, how do we make that better? How do we make that easier? Developing and supporting the development of diverse and dynamic neighborhoods that offer high-quality green space. These are things that are attractive to visitors, but they're also critically important to young people, families, and others who live and enjoy the neighborhoods that they live in. Obviously, boosting competitiveness and diversifying the economy always rises to the top. Trying to find ways to leverage visitation, conferences, conventions, meetings, and other big events to support the attraction of people to the community to make investments is really critical. Supporting entrepreneurs and innovators, also very, very important. And the thing about this plan is that while we've identified these leverage points by working with people throughout the community, there are people working in these specific silos already. And a lot of this is about how do we create a framework where these tables can be expanded and different leaders in different segments of the community can take the lead in implementation of these things while others support it. So the tourism industry doesn't necessarily need to be driving the most, the most strong impact on innovation and entrepreneurship, but we certainly have ways to plug in and be supportive of the efforts of others. And we want to elevate the planning that's happening with other leaders at places like the Idea Village or New Society or others, and try to make sure that we're supporting that in the events that we attract to the community as well. So there's a lot here, on our website to learn more at neworleans.com, but I think just an exciting opportunity to plug in momentum. And as we've always kind of said, tourism doesn't need to be the dominant economic driver in the community. We need to become the third or fourth most important economic driver. will still be a very healthy industry, but we will hopefully support the development of other industries that raise opportunity for many others.
You know, one thing got my attention was maintain a world-class asset portfolio, and you mentioned the Riverfront, Armstrong Park, Lincoln Beach, the lakefront, et cetera. Seems like we have a lot of assets that we don't really take advantage of. Thoughts, real quick?
Yeah, I think the key is that communities that are the most competitive across the country, not just for attracting residents, but also visitors, are reinventing themselves. They're not just taking care of the things that they've got, but they're adding new assets to be competitive. We've got to do that as well. And the Omni Hotel comes to mind when I think about new world-class assets.
Thank you. We need that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. You bet. Have a great weekend and happy holidays to y'all. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking. It's the best time of the week. If you got any questions or comments about where you've been eating, where you've been drinking, where you want to go to eat, where you want to go to drink, text them in to 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along. We come back on WWL.